Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Did you know, and many of you do know, that the powers which be in some churches have forbidden their preachers to discuss from the pulpit the evils of beverage alcohol? Some of you may know because you are the ones who forbade your preacher from teaching the truth on that topic. Others in my audience may be preachers who were forbidden on threat of being fired from pointing out how evil it is to drink and to legalize a substance which may kill as many as 200,000 persons per year and severely cripple many hundreds of thousands more. What do you think of an eldership or a group of deacons or any other body of rulers in various churches who forbid their preachers from teaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? When that happens, and it probably happens more than most of us would like to admit, what influence does it have on the preacher, the church, the community, and our young people? My preacher friend, are you for sale to the highest bidder? What would you do if you were forbidden to preach against beverage alcohol, or racism, or abortion, or gambling, or homosexuality? Wouldn't you preach against these evils anyway? If you would compromise your convictions just to keep your position, how are you going to explain that to the Lord in the day of judgment? Some of the greatest preachers of all time were the prophets under the Mosaic Covenant. Oh, I know there were some crooks, liars, and adulterers among the prophets, Jeremiah 23, for example. But men like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Amos, Elijah, Micaiah, and Hosea were and are shining lights in the world. They could not be bought. They could not be intimidated. When God told them to speak in His name, they spoke, regardless of the pressures which were brought to bear on their lives. They did not obscure God's message by using language and concepts the hearers could not understand. Jeremiah said to the unfaithful prophets, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, that no one returns from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." Jeremiah 23:14. Do you think the corrupt prophets in Jerusalem had any difficulty in understanding Jeremiah? They did not like what he said, but he had to say it. Do we need a Jeremiah in our day? A prophet who will tell it like it is? No waffling, no covering up with high-sounding phrases, just simple, powerful preaching of God's truth. One writer has said that there were two kinds of prophets: the ones who had something to say and the ones who had to say something. My friend Homer Haley says there is a third kind: the one who has something to say and has to say it. Jeremiah, without a doubt, fits into the last category. He endured oppression from his own people, even to the point of fearing for his life. He confessed, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah 20:9. My preacher friend, if that fire is not burning in your bones, you ought to get out of the pulpit never to return, unless you have a change of heart. The prophet Isaiah faced conditions in the land of Israel which were troubling to the point of being discouraging. The nation was a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who were corruptors. They had forsaken the Lord and had provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger and had gone away backward. They were diligent in offering bullocks, lambs, and he-goats, but the Lord was disgusted with their behavior. Isaiah 1:4-13. The Jews had become so wicked, so insensitive, they could not discern between good and evil. Woe unto them who call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. They had reached the point in their rebellion against God that their heroes were drunks and crooks. The prophet warned, "Woe unto them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Isaiah 5:22-23. The path of expediency would have said to Isaiah, "You are outnumbered. Let these people go their own way. There is not much you can do anyway." Isaiah could not leave evil alone. He knew God would hold him accountable for his own soul and for the souls of the Israelite people. So the prophet waded into the fray and preached diligently and uncompromisingly to the Jews. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Isaiah 1:16-20. Is there any doubt in your mind where Isaiah stood, on the devil's side or the Lord's? Did he refuse to get involved because the situation seemed hopeless? There are always men who claim to be gospel preachers or true prophets who make alliances with evil. Do you remember the 400 prophets who assured Ahab he could win in his battle against Ramoth-Gilead in Syria? They apparently were being paid by Ahab and told him what he wanted to hear, not what he needed to hear. But Micaiah told him the truth. He warned Ahab that if he led the Israelite army against Ramoth-Gilead, he would lose not only the battle, but his life as well. Because Micaiah always told Ahab the truth, the king hated him with a passion. Ahab told Jehoshaphat that Micaiah never prophesied any good concerning him, but always evil. Micaiah was not speaking from his own heart, but preaching God's message to King Ahab. During the life of Amos, there were prophets in Israel who were like the 400 who taught Ahab what he wanted to hear. Amos was not one of them. Amos pled with the Israelites, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as you have spoken. Hate evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." Amos 5:14-15. One of the weak and spineless men in Israel, a priest named Amaziah, was disgusted with the powerful message of Amos. Amaziah tried to make life as hard for Amos as he possibly could by accusing him of being involved in a conspiracy against Jeroboam. He informed Jeroboam that the land is not able to bear the words of Amos. Amos 7:10. Amos had said, "Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall be led away captive out of their own land." Amos 7:11. Prophets on the king's payroll resent words such as those spoken by Amos. He believed Amos had gotten over into his territory. He said to him, "Amos, O you seer, go, flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Amos 7, 12 and 13. Amaziah's words are not difficult to understand. He was tired of Amos's interfering with his playhouse. He tells Amos to go home and earn his living in Judah. Since he was being paid by Jeroboam, he thought Amos was of like disposition. He misread the prophet Amos. Amos said to Amaziah, I was not a prophet, neither a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. But the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Amos 7, 14 and 15. If a prophet or preacher genuinely believes God has called him into his service, how can he refuse to go as God has sent him and to preach the word of the Lord? In modern times, do we need prophets like the 400 prophets in the days of Ahab or Amaziah? Or do we need men of the courage and faithfulness of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Amos? Would not our world be a more righteous place if all who claim to speak for God would study their Bibles and preach the word in season and out of season? How can preachers justify not addressing the moral and spiritual problems which are literally tearing this country apart? How can we please our God when we know the evils of strong drink and act as if it were not a serious problem? If prominent businessmen and politicians sit in our congregations and threaten to have us fired if we discuss beverage alcohol, are we going to let the Ahabs and the Jeroboams of our communities intimidate us into keeping silent? My preacher friend, do you not know that silence can be sinful? The Book of Lamentations in the Old Testament describes in very vivid details the tragedies which had brought pain and suffering to God's people. Jeremiah was deeply troubled at the plight of God's people and wrote, Jerusalem has grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honor her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sighs and turns backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembers not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified himself. Lamentations 1, 8 and 9. The prophet asked, Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the days of his fierce anger. Lamentations 1, 12. When you know of the tens of thousands of young people who become addicted to alcohol every year, children as young as 10 to 12. When you understand that more than half of all divorces are caused by someone's drinking. When you see on the evening news the broken bodies of our young people who have been drinking and driving. And when you learn that more than half of the criminals in our prison system committed serious crime because they were under the influence of alcohol. And when you know of the child abuse and spouse abuse which are directly related to beverage alcohol, is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Does any of that make any difference in what you preach and what parents teach their young people? What if I fail to warn young people and older ones about the dangers of beverage alcohol? Will I be guiltless when I stand before God in the day of judgment? No Old Testament prophet or New Testament writer deals with this question any more fully and faithfully than Ezekiel. I'm sure you remember that Ezekiel was Jeremiah's younger contemporary who actually went into Babylonian exile. Jeremiah did not go, but Ezekiel did. When Ezekiel was sitting by the river Kebar in Babylon, the Lord said unto him, Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, parents, teachers, governmental leaders, all of the above. Whoever has been given the responsibility of helping us keep our country free from destructive elements, drugs, sexual promiscuity, gambling, and alcohol, is a watchman for the souls of our young people and of our older people. God said to the prophet Ezekiel, "When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand." Ezekiel 3:18. Do I believe God has called modern preachers to speak out against abortion, against alcohol and other drugs, against homosexuality and against other evils? I know it, if the Bible means what it says. If I fail to warn our young people about alcohol, and they die or become addicted because of my failure, will God hold me accountable? After all, those who choose to drink or to use other drugs do it of their own free will. Why should preachers and teachers and parents be accountable? My friends, God has commanded those responsible for young people to teach them and to warn them. As a preacher, I am guilty before God for my failure to help turn men and women, boys and girls, from wickedness if I do not preach the whole truth of God. Is that truth too difficult for any of us to understand? Ezekiel further said to the prophets and other leaders in Israel, "Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he sins not, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also you have delivered your own soul. Ezekiel 2:19-21. Can you understand why Paul would later write to the Corinthians, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling"? 1 Corinthians 2:3. I'm not addressing my remarks today to preachers alone, but I do primarily have them in mind in the following discussion. If you do not know the dangers of beverage alcohol, I will be more than happy to furnish you with a list of books which will give you the information you need to combat this great evil. I want to mention a few in our lesson today. They are listed in no particular order. Joel Fort, a medical doctor, has written a book called Alcohol, Our Biggest Drug Problem. Dr. Robert DuPont has a book called Getting Tough on the Gateway Drugs, A Guide for the Family. Former Senator Harold Hughes has a very revealing book entitled The Honorable Alcoholic, A Senator's Personal Story. Dr. Spickard Anderson of Vanderbilt has an outstanding book entitled Dying for a Drink, What You Should Know About Alcoholism. And finally, Jerry Johnston, who speaks to hundreds of thousands of young people across the United States, wrote a book in 1991 with the title, It's Killing Our Kids, The Growing Epidemic of Teenage Alcohol Abuse and Addiction. These are but a few of the really good books showing what alcohol is doing to our society. If you need to know of others, I will be glad to furnish you with a list. Once you have done your research on the destructiveness of beverage alcohol, please use your voice to warn Americans, especially our young, about the dangers of drinking. We are losing too many of our splendid young people to alcohol and to other drugs. this nation cannot afford to lose some of our very brightest young people. The brain drain will adversely affect the future of the United States of America. So please, preacher friend, prepare and deliver lessons on a regular basis on strong drink. Have your facts in hand, but make your primary appeal to the Word of God. I have a series of questions, both for preachers and for elders of all religious groups. First, I shall ask the preacher some very vital questions. Paul spoke as follows to the Ephesian elders about his preaching in their midst. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts 20, 20 through 21, 26 and 27. Did keeping back nothing which was profitable include preaching against beverage alcohol? If I am to be pure from the blood of all men, especially our teenagers, must I preach against beverage alcohol? How can I preach the whole counsel of God and not mention a substance which needlessly kills thousands of our teenagers on the nation's highways? Am I not obligated as a gospel preacher to warn all people of the moral and spiritual dangers they face in life? Are not alcohol and alcoholism two of those dangers? The Apostle Paul had never been to the city of Rome at the time he wrote the great Roman letter, and yet he said to them, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, so as much as in me is. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Romans 1, 14 and 15. Did Paul's indebtedness to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, include warning of the dangers of strong drink? Could Paul have paid his debt if he had failed to preach any truth they needed? My preacher friend, you have a debt to all men, not because of what they have done for you, but because of God's graciousness. Paying that debt obligates you to preach against liquor. Will you pay your debt by preaching always what all men and women so desperately need? Paul made a commitment to the Corinthians and to all others when he wrote, For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, 2. All preachers have a sacred obligation to preach only Christ crucified. To preach anything else will bring the curses of God on our heads. If I preach only Christ crucified, which I must do to be faithful to God, will I point out the dangers of alcohol and other drugs? Did you know that Paul said that drunks are not going to heaven? 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Paul gives a long list of what he called the lust of the flesh. Drunkenness was included in that long list of grievous sins. At the end of the list, Paul wrote, They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, 19-21. Do you want to be responsible for causing men and women to be lost? Will you then have the courage to preach against beverage alcohol? Paul wrote as follows to a young preacher, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also who love his appearing. 2 Timothy 4, 1-8. Did you listen closely to what I have just read from 2 Timothy 4? Do you believe you can preach the word and not condemn beverage alcohol? Are you able to do the work of an evangelist and not oppose one of the most destructive drugs ever known to man, beverage alcohol? If you fail to preach against strong drink, will you be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith? I want to read one verse to elders of the Lord's church. Members of the church are instructed to obey them who have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Then the Hebrew writer said, For they, the elders, watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Hebrews 13:17. As elders, you have duties to every member of the body of Christ. You are to lead God's people into paths of righteousness. You also have the responsibility for making sure the preacher is discussing what the church needs. If your preacher fails to speak about drinking, you have the duty of informing him about his work. If he fails to preach the truth on every topic, you fail too. You know, if your eyes are open, that alcohol is destroying hundreds of thousands of lives every year, disrupting the peace and tranquility of homes and communities. Do you not care whether or not your preacher warns men of all moral and spiritual dangers? Do you have the courage to tell your preacher to either shape up or ship out? I close today with more of Paul's words to the Ephesian elders. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Acts 20:28. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to richly bless you.